only star in my blue heaven.
Who's that?
Dixie Carter.
I was going to guess Brock Lesnar, but that's a good answer, too.
Well, he's the only star in my, well, I was going to say the only male star in my blue heaven would be Brock Lesnar. But the only female star in my blue heaven is Dixie Carter. Did you see what she put on her Twitter and Facebook?
I have not seen her a Twitter.
I got to read this. Literally almost died. It's from Dixie. Just finished watching the Lost series. Better late than never. I am more lost than ever, but loved it. Powerful. Not everything needs to make sense. It's called entertainment.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
This has to be on purpose. You know what I mean? This has to be...
That cannot be a coincidence.
No. This is Dixie showing her sense of humor. There's like literally no explanation for that tweet right there. She cannot... I mean, it just has to be. I cannot wrap my head around her actually saying that as not a joke. It's impossible.
So does this mean she thinks Impact is powerful?
Powerful! It's entertainment! It doesn't have to make sense.
I disagree with either both of those.
Holy God. That, like, made my night. A lot of stuff have made
it
my night of late.
It does explain a lot.
It's actually right now maybe about 75 degrees. We've got the window open, so the neighbors, I'm sure, are looking over here going, who are these two fucktards yelling and screaming here on the air? But it's really hot. It finally...
We had our first nice day of 2010.
They always said here in Seattle that summer doesn't start until the day after the 4th of July. And sure as shit, the 4th of July was so goddamn cold that I was outside in a sweatshirt and a hat. I can't say a wool hat, but I considered wearing my wool hat. It was so fucking cold. And then the next day, the heat began to roll in, I guess.
Next day was an okay day.
80 degrees here today.
Yeah.
Hot. I'm here half naked. Vinny's in a tank top, which is far worse than me sitting here half naked.
How dare you?
Sweating like pigs. So, I'm going to try not to yell on this show, but point is, with the nice weather and just a lot of fun times, I'm in a great mood.
That's good.
I've resigned myself to the fact that TNA's going to die, probably this year, and, oh well. Listen, I know that people think that I hate TNA. Listen, I've been trying for 8 years. I've been trying for 8 years as a passenger on the Titanic to storm my way into the captain's area and grab the wheel. I've been trying. I really have tried. I realize I've ranted and raved and flipped my lid and sweated all over the place and screamed and choked on my own vomit. But for 8 years, I've really been trying to right the ship. Maybe I've done it in a controversial manner. I don't know. But I'd sure like that place to succeed as a viable number two that produced good programming. So, they die, they die. Is that the term?
I think it'll do.
Let them die, and Vince McMahon can sort them out.
Sure.
That's the way I look
you
at
just
it.
Replaced God with Vince McMahon, which is a little disturbing.
So anyway, he's as far as the professional wrestling
industry.
Universe is concerned, he is in fact God. I realize it's a terrible analogy, but it is. No man in this business is more powerful than Vince McMahon.
No, absolutely.
He pulls all the strings.
Yeah.
So anyway, I tried for 8 years. I tried. And now, oh well. Now I laugh at Dixie's goofiness. I just shake my head. Sure, she's a nice lady. I talk to a lot of people in Vegas. We obviously had the interview with Paul Heyman. I mean, I didn't talk to anybody that said Dixie was a mean woman or a bad person. Everyone just had the same thing. She just has no fucking clue. That's all they said. So anyway, just wanted to mention that little tweet here as we open up the program today. We got Raw, SmackDown, and Vinny, do you have any words about the UFC event this past weekend?
I liked it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. That was a great show. I watched it at Big Wood's house with Big Wood's friends and family around, and I was so excited at the finish of the main event that I actually jumped up and moved to the front of the room, and I was later told that Wood's wife was concerned I was going to high-five the TV. Fortunately, I did not.
Did you have money on the man or something?
No, I just care. I care about Brock Lesnar. I care about Chris Lieben.
I will say this. Let me say something about the Chris Lieben fight. I mentioned this in the news there. That was the fight of the year.
Sure.
If you want to argue Korean zombie, I'm not going to call you an idiot, but I will say that I disagree. In the press area, you are banned from cheering or rooting on any of the fighters or anything like that. I've actually seen it happen before, and it's really embarrassing. Jennifer Wink runs up, and she basically tells them, stop acting like an idiot. And then they stop. You're supposed to be there as an unbiased reporter.
I want her job, by the way.
Covering the event.
But okay, sure.
Now, never before at a UFC event, I swear to God, never before at a UFC event have I marked out in any way, cheered a fighter, or anything like that. When Chris Lieben got that triangle with seconds left in the third round of as even a fight as you're ever going to see, one clap, and then I stopped myself realizing where I was. And I should make this clear in case Jennifer Wink is listening. I was not cheering for Chris Lieben. I really didn't give a fuck who won the fight. I mean, I did pick Chris Lieben. I thought he was going to win. And so in a sense, you know, I probably would have never heard the end of it on the board if I would have picked that one wrong, or I don't know. But that fight was so awesome that when it was over, I was in awe. And I almost began applauding just the entire fight itself. Mm-hmm. That was the best fight I think I've ever seen live in my entire life. And I've been to a lot of UFC events now. That fight live was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And when he got a triangle, a triangle from the bottom, my mind was blown.
Not see that one coming?
Awesome.
Now, refresh my memory. Didn't the Korean zombie fight go to a decision?
It was a decision, yes.
Yeah, well, so that, I guess, not automatically makes it inferior, but that is a big thumbs up for this one that the one did not have.
Well, as I mentioned, for those of you that don't read the newsletter, first off, you're fools. Second off, people always go, why is a match 4 3/4 stars and not 5? Why was Undertaker and Shawn Michaels last year, not this year, why was that one 4 3/4 and not 5? Because there are a lot of intangibles that go into a 5-star match. And to me, the Korean Zombie match was 4 3/4, and the Chris Lieben match was 5. Why? Because even if both fights were equally exciting, the Lieben-Akiyama fight had a number of things going for it, including the fact that it was the semi-main event on a pay-per-view that over 1 million people bought. It was a match that made a star out of both of those guys, Akiyama and Lieben. As I mentioned in the newsletter, at the end of this year, I will bet that most people will not be able to remember who the Korean Zombie fought in that match. Because if you recall, nobody ever says, Brian, you've forgotten the Korean Zombie Leonard Garcia fight. No one ever says that. They always say, you forgot the Korean Zombie fight. They're going to forget Leonard Garcia by the end of this year. These are all little intangible things that when you add them all up, that's what makes a match stick out from the pack. From just a really, 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 really awesome match to a match of the year style match. So, I just thought it was awesome.
No, it definitely was. And it was poor Wood. Thankfully, he recorded the show because he was having a party, which means he also had to, as host, he had to spend time basically with everyone. Those who were watching the fights, those who were outside barbecuing, those who were hanging out in the kitchen. So, he didn't get to watch much of the show. Thankfully, he recorded it and could go back later. But he walked in. It happened to be after the Christoph Bonner fight, and which was another great fight. And he just asked, how was that fight? And I pointed to Bonner's face and said, that's the winner. That was it.
Yep.
And they could say the same thing about Brock, and to a degree, you could say the same thing about Lieben. Just a lot of ass-whipping on that show.
So anyway, the whole show was awesome. One of the best UFCs of all time. If it replays, buy it. I guarantee you will not be upset if you buy that show. It's just phenomenal. So that's the UFC review. If you want more, actually, if you want more, I don't know where you've been, because we've spent the entire weekend doing radio shows, newsletters, and various programs about it. So I'm sure you've all heard enough about it. So we need to talk about SmackDown. I didn't watch SmackDown, so Vinny, you're going to have to do the entire thing, and God only knows what a segment this is going to be. Then we'll talk about Raw. Mm. And
you don't want to talk about Impact at all?
Fuck Impact.
All right.
I actually watched Impact.
Yes. When you offered that deal, would you like to watch... Basically, you asked, would I like to watch Impact or SmackDown? SmackDown.
Yeah, everyone, I volunteered to watch Impact this week. For a guy that supposedly is so biased and wants them to die, I watched the show. And it was, per Impact standards, a better show. But, again, and again, there were people in Vegas talking about this. Why is everyone grading on such a curve for Impact? The show is horrible. Mm-hmm. Just because it's better by its own awful standards does not make it a good wrestling show. There's a reason this place is dying. So anyway, go on.
SmackDown. They recapped the angle from the week before of Kane destroying CM Punk and chasing him, fleeing into the night. We thought to not be seen for months and months and months. So Swagger came out for a promo. He talked about how he was going to make people suffer. He was going to make them feel the pain he felt after being cheated out of his championship. They showed clips of him losing to the Big Show the week before when he applied the ankle lock and would not break and got disqualified. And they showed these clips, and they were sure to show afterwards, after the match was over, they showed Big Show tapping repeatedly to show what pain he was in, which makes you wonder, why didn't you just have Jack Swagger win?
I don't know.
Why didn't you just have the number one contender win a match? So, he basically said that what happened here? He was saying...
Here we go, everybody.
I was going off the tracks before the first turn.
A freight train loaded up with coal, this Vinny Verhey.
So Swagger said that people should be talking about him, not the SmackDown Money in the Bank match, whereas in fact nobody is talking about either one. He said winning the Money in the Bank match at Mania changed his life. He won the world title 5 days later, and then 2 weeks ago, like him crashing down, he said his dad was devastated, he was barely able to speak or eat, and nobody cares. So Big Show finally came out. He was limping, but he was still jolly. He buried the world title, so there were more important things in life than to be sad about losing it. He made some fourth grade humor. He said Swagger had hurt him, but he was still breathing, and he begged Swagger to try it again. He moved down to the ring when who should come and clip his leg but dashing Cody Rhodes. Oh, yes. They worked him over. They beat up his ankle for a while until Ray made the save, although it was one of those times where Big Show started his own comeback before Ray came down. So
lovely.
He did nothing. Yeah. And so it's all over, and the heels bail, and everyone's pointing fingers and screaming at each other.
That was it. It was on Impact. That same thing happened, where Abyss is beating Hulk Hogan up, mm-hmm. and dudes are about to run down to save Hogan, but before they even get onto the ramp, Hogan starts making his own comeback.
Yeah.
Which begs the question... What?
Ray should have just stopped and watched. Yes.
Yeah.
So Ray did a little, and they're all standing there. And this is Ray's first appearance on SmackDown after winning the World Championship for the second time, and everyone squares off, and he has just theoretically made the save, and they played Big Show's music.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger.
He's a bigger star. There's no doubt of that right now. So they plugged six names in the SmackDown Money in the Bank match. Kane, Matt Hardy, Cody Rhodes, Christian, Kofi, and Cho. They said there would be two more names added later.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yep. Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler, speaking of whoop-de-doo. The highlight of this was before the match when Vicky and Dolph were walking backstage, and Vicky caught Dolph peeking at Rosa doing jumping jacks. And it's not that Rosa doing jumping jacks in and of itself was the highlight. It's just that there was no reason for her to be doing these. She was not warming up for a match.
There is a reason. You forget.
To get her breast to jiggle on a G-rated show.
No, well, PG, that too, PG but...
Show.
The lay cool. She wants to join them, and they're making her get in shape.
That's why
she was jumping rope last week.
I see.
But yes, it's making her tits jiggle.
Yes, but as at first I thought she may be appearing on the show later. No. They just had her jumping backstage for no reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a pretty average SmackDown TV match. They wrestled for a minute, then went to commercial and came back, and Dolph already had the heat. So. He hit a Fame Asser for a near fall, and then for some reason he started shouting at Vicky. I don't really know why. And he turned around and ate Kofi's kick for the pin. So, there you go. Vicky walked out on him, very disappointed in her man. Cut backstage. CM Punk was there with his arm in a sling, so he stopped running long enough to get surgery. Serena was cutting a promo, saying he was telling Serena that she needed to let him handle it. She said they should just admit it. Punk said the last thing they would do was admit it, he was in control. Serena said he was in surgery for 10 hours. Clearly he was not in control.
10 hours?
That's what she said.
Was his arm severed from his body?
Well, no.
Hmm.
He was just running with it. So, So Luke told her to calm down. She refused. She said
so this is the old TNA, it's a mystery, what they're talking about?
Yes. Hmm. Well, she said we should admit it, so everyone was thinking they should admit they killed The Undertaker.
I see.
So she said she saw Punk's face before he went into surgery. She felt helpless, and it broke her heart. So Punk told her to trust him. He and Luke would take care of this. And she said if they didn't, then she would. And she walked out. And this, the camera was left on Punk and Luke watching her walk away. This was the most awkward pause in the history of these awkward pauses that they do after every promo. They just stared at her for like a minute. This is Serena, by the way, not great, but so much better than all the other divas.
Shocking.
So yes.
So they better than Michelle McCool.
I know, it's hard to say, hard to believe. When they came back from commercial, Christian and Matt Hardy were in the ring with a bunch of ladders. Basically, if you watch Raw and you watch the segment with Edge and Jericho, this was the exact same thing, only very lame. The worst part about having two matches for every brand and every pay-per-view is that the build for these is always exactly the same. So they jibber-jabbered for a while. They talked about how they had been through ladder matches before. They had both done everything but been world champion. They both agreed they deserved to win it more than anyone else. They climbed a ladder. They climbed back down. Christian, T's leaving, turned around and got punched, and Matt threw him into a ladder, and that was that. It took a long time. It was, as I said, is exactly the same thing as the one on Raw, only Matt Hardy is sure as hell no Chris Jericho.
Fine recapping job right there.
We got a...
Quick and to the point.
Alberto Del Rio promo in his nice house. He said, all men were born with honesty, but they lose it quickly. A liar is a despicable person, he said. And he said, we were all liars. So,
that's the same one as last week.
It may have been. I actually missed last week's one. I fast-forwarded through it because I didn't recognize it as a wrestling segment.
Hmm.
So, I saw two of them this week, though. So,
were they the same one?
No, the other one was different.
Huh.
I like how you bitch when people don't read the newsletter, but you didn't read my report. That's fine.
I was busy.
That's fine. So, we had dashing Cody Rhodes primping in the mirror backstage, including combing his eyebrows. He looked around.
All it also says, Vinny, is I have faith in your writing and editing skills.
There you go.
I didn't need to look it over again.
There you go. So, Cody Rhodes was primping in a mirror, combing his eyebrows. He then looked around.
Combing his eyebrows. A very small comb?
No, actually a full-sized comb.
And besides, I may watch the show and I don't want spoilers.
I see.
Yeah.
Have you watched the show?
No, I have it on DVR. I think I see. Got
to
watch it.
You don't need to.
For the Observer, actually.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry. Okay, anyway. So, Cody, with a big giant TV camera in his face, looks around to make sure no one is watching, and then begins to do a fake interview with himself, playing the part of the interviewer and then turning to the mirror and answering questions. So he said he had taken the Big Show and turned him into, quote, an underachieving blob of mediocrity. He said Show couldn't climb a ladder if he couldn't walk, so he had taken him out of the Money in the Bank match. Then he said tonight he was going to show how easy it would be to cash in Money in the Bank and beat Ray and become the first dashing world heavyweight champion. So this at least explained why he picked on Big Show earlier when they have never made contact before. Kane versus Luke Gallows. They slobber knockered around for a minute or two. The Hooded Stranger ran in for the cheap DQ. So Kane chokeslammed them both. He was dragging Punk into the ring, was about to kill him, when Serena came bouncing down the ramp. She begged Kane to stop, saying she could prove Punk was innocent. Punk was on his knees, arm in a sling, in the monster's grasp, gallantly telling Serena not to say anything and to run to the back. He would rather take the chokeslam than whatever she was going to do. So she said that on May 31st, which was the day everything went down, Punk was nowhere near the Undertaker because he was saving her. So she showed a video. She procured security camera footage from a bar somewhere. It was a bar. She walked in. She ordered a drink. She stared at it for a while, and then she finally took a sip. And we saw clips of this throughout the night. There was a Lothario walked in, tried to put the moves on her, including giving the bartender a giant thumbs up. That was always good. By the way, I'm sure I've seen this guy before. Maybe it was Trent Beretta, but I guarantee you I know who this person is. I just can't think of his name. So anywho, a couple of hours went by of Serena at this bar until finally the Straight Edge Society showed up. Sadly, they were not in their masks. The Hooded Stranger just had a hoodie, actually, and Punk just had a baseball cap over his bald head, which is still the most of his bald head we've seen. They walked in, Punk knocked the drinks off the bar, they yelled at her, the other geek ran away, and that was that. So Kane accepted this as evidence that Punk did not kill The Undertaker, and he left. Serena went to tend to Punk, but he was irate that he couldn't believe that she had shown this footage, and he kept asking, do you know what you've done? So this made no sense, but I have faith in SmackDown that in 7 days they will explain what happened here and why Punk was so upset that Serena just saved his life and how showing this footage embarrassed him. We had MVP versus Chavo Guerrero. You don't need to watch the show, dude. Come on. So
thanks.
They showed clips of MVP and Kofi at a toy store signing the new dolls and stuff. Chavo said that Vicky's gringo boyfriend cannot get the job done, but he, her nephew, could. So after he beat MVP, he would deserve an Intercontinental title shot. MVP just laughed out loud at this concept. They wrestled for like 1 minute. And
the guy in the bar was Adam Cole.
Should I know who that is?
Combat Zone Wrestling Evolve and Dragon Gate.
I probably saw him on the Evolve show then.
Probably what it was.
There you go. Okay, so MVP versus Chavo. They wrestled for like 1 minute, and it was the worst 1 minute match in SmackDown history. If these two men wrestled 100 times, they would have 100 matches better than this. They were on totally different pages. They were doing first day of school indie stuff where like you whip the guy in, but he doesn't know what to do, so he stops running, and you stare at each other for a while, and they didn't edit it out. Just bad. So MVP has downward spiral and won. Highlight of the show, the This Week in Wrestling is July 4th. So it was Lex Luger body slamming Yokozuna.
Yes.
This was awesome. They showed it on Raw too. Just a man on a bus traveling the country convincing us he would be our hero.
Yeah.
No complaints. No complaints about this whatsoever.
And then he failed.
He failed the ultimate fail that was disguised as a win that fooled no one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Kelly versus Michelle. Remember on Impact, I guess they broke up now, but Taylor Wilde and Sarita would always come out and do a wacky, elaborate entrance and then bump hips at the end. Kelly and Tiffany do that, except they just skip to the bumping hips part. They walk out there, they bump their hips, they walk down.
This team is a rib. I mean, seriously.
Well, at this point, I actually really thought, because we've talked about how Lay Cool is their version of the beautiful people, Kelly and Tiffany are their version of Taylor and Sarita.
Who actually have broken up for absolutely no reason now.
Because TNA is stupid. But because apparently the SmackDown Women's Division is just a blatant knockoff of TNA. They just decided we will copy this and do it better. That's amazing. It's an astounding concept on many levels. So anywho. So Layla was making fun of the stupid entrance. She was mocking Tiffany. Michelle jumped Tiffany from behind and threw her into a wall. The ref went in and checked her. She was dead. And so he jumped in the ring and said, "Ring the bell!" So they had a match. Tiffany recovered, and there was perfume being sprayed, and girls were taking dumb bumps on the floor, and Kelly rolled up Michelle and pinned her. If you need more details, look it up on Hulu. They replayed the entire Steamboat angle from Raw. They pretty much showed the entire thing, the spine buster, the clothesline, the 450. So there was no update on Steamboat. I know this was taped Tuesday, so presumably before he fell ill. But it still was creepy. Here was the second Alberto Del Rio promo. This one he was talking about inspiration. He said to inspire others.
Is his name Alberto the River?
Alberto of the River.
Of the River. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Poor Mexican.
So
that being me, not Alberto Del Rio.
No, he clearly is a wealthy Mexican. He's doing fine. So, yes, he's talking about inspiration. He said, to inspire others, you must never show fear and always accomplish the impossible.
Accomplish the impossible, not attempt to accomplish.
Always accomplish the impossible. You must wake up and immediately accomplish the impossible.
So wake up and fly.
Turn invisible, I don't know. Raise the dead, who knows. So that was that. So the funny thing here was, in this promo, he was talking about how great he was, and he said something in Spanish. Then immediately translated
it. Mexican?
In Mexican, yes. And that's supposed to make us hate him. So then in the very next segment, Rey comes out to finally cut his post-championship victory promo. And he starts speaking Spanish. It's a babyface move. All right. So this is not a good promo by Rey's own standards. He was sort of mumbling. Fans were chanting something. I think it was Daniel Bryan's name. I'm not sure. But it threw Rey off his game. And then he finally just announced the challengers would not just be facing him, they'd be facing the entire 619. So apparently he is only a hero in San Diego. Main event was Rey Mysterio and Big Show versus Jack Swagger and Dashing Cody Rhodes. Every once in a while, Matt Stryker does get off a great line. He was talking about how handsome Cody Rhodes was, and he said he makes the cast of Twilight look like Sir Oliver Humperdinck. I laughed. So, the good news about this match is it left me wanting to see Rey defend his title against someone on the heel team. The bad news is that someone was Cody. They were great together. Swagger came in. It was fine. So, they got the heat on Rey, of course. He made, I think, my new favorite hot tag ever, where he was, positioned three quarters of the way across the ring from Show, and he didn't crawl over to Show. He didn't dive. He raised both hands like in an axe handle over his head and sprinted across the ring and tagged Show with both hands. It was awesome. Show came in, ran wild for a bit. until finally he hit a German suplex, but came up selling his ankle, tagged Ray back in. Ray went for the 619 on Swagger, but Jack turned into the ankle lock and got DQ'd again. And that was pretty much basically the end of the show. So the world title match for SmackDown is Jack Swagger, who won the title on a fluke, had a shitty reign and is now on a losing streak, against Ray, who was a bigger star when he was fighting CM Punk over Pride than he is now as the world champion, and won the title in a fluky interference marred four-way match out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure at this point that Ray's second reign may actually be worse than his first.
No.
Because at least when he was the first one,
no,
he was losing all the time, but his loss was the most important part of the show. At this point, Ray is the world champion. He is, at best, the number two babyface behind Big Show, and I think he may actually be three or four behind Kane and Undertaker.
This is, well, I guess I got to watch the show before I can say anything about that.
It was as television, it was watchable. As billed for pay-per-view, it sucked.
Well, let's see what we've got here in the old songs department. People send them here and there to me. For those of you wondering, no, I do not create the songs. Other people create them for me. Oh, this fool. And make sure you don't send me a song that I have to download. Send me the actual file. And we'll be good. Let's play this one by the great Clit, who has promised he will not try and fool me anymore with Wild and Young. And if he does, I literally will never play a song of his ever again. So let's try this one.
Ahora, todos, escúchenme.
Awesome.
Everybody, listen. Ha ha. ¿Qué pasa, los lupacos? Tonight, I got a something special for you. My name is Alejandro Armando.
My name?
Armando Alejandro Estgaga.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
All right. Did you watch Ring of Honor?
I did not have time.
Oh, you idiot.
I have been busy.
Watch Ring of Honor next time so we can talk about it on the show.
Well, you can talk about it.
It's no fun to talk about it alone. We just heard your segment.
Do you think you can't do any better?
Of course I can do better.
Prove it.
But the point is, you need to watch this so that we can review it next time.
I have been busy. I'm making a book, damn it.
You're making a book? You're cutting papers and gluing them together into a binding?
Virtually. I'm doing layout. Football Outsiders Almanac, everyone, on sale hopefully this Thursday.
Hopefully.
Well, we're up against it.
The Kings of Wrestling and Dark City Fight Club non-title match. Fun. Mostly because Mike Hogwood sounds like Lance Russell. It's a good little match here. Actually, this was my favorite match on the show, believe it or not. Because the main event, Daniels and Strong versus American Wolves. This match should have been awesome, but I think I counted 6 hot tags.
Maybe a little overkill.
I'll say. The 4th hot tag, nobody cared. There was just a tag and the other guy got in and this and that. The finish was awesome. It was like they had like 4 hot tags. And then there's a bug in here.
There are insects attacking.
It's like 4 hot tags.
You don't have a screen on your window, do you?
No, not yet.
You forgot that detail.
It was like 4 hot tags and 5 hot tags, 6 hot tags. Anyway, and then there was like 1 German superplex off the top, and I thought for sure Daniels was going to kick out, but he didn't. Match was pretty good. Finish was awesome. Roddy got mad that his man got pinned. And again, like I said, the matches with the weird psychology of multiple hot tags, just not my thing. Getting the heat twice is okay in a long match. 5 times, overkill. just my opinion. We had the Daisy Hayes against Jamelia Kraft match. That's what they called her, Jamelia Kraft. No idea who this woman was. She was from the wrestling school. They said she'd been training for a year, and hell of a job. Her punches sucked, but her wrestling was pretty good. Now, granted, I'm sure Daisy Hayes is in the school like every single day training with her, but they had a completely passable match here on TV except for the punches. And then Daisy, who's about 90 pounds, hit Jamelia, who is a hell of a lot bigger, with a dragon suplex for the pin.
It's scary.
That was incredible. And then we had a bunch of interviews as well. ROH on HGNet, always a fun show. Not exactly newsworthy or anything like that. The next set of tapings is coming up in a couple of weeks, so we're actually watching things that were taped before the last internet pay-per-view.
I see.
So it feels like lame duck programming in a sense.
Yeah, it is.
But what the hell can
you do? Who won the opener for reference? The Dark City Fight Club match?
The Kings of Wrestling, obviously. They're the tag team champions.
Oh, yeah.
It would be stupid of them to lose to the Dark City Fight Club.
I forgot they were tag champs.
So anyway, that was good times right there. I do love the security kids, as they call them.
That's their name for the ring.
They've gotten a bunch of 16-year-olds, and they put security shirts on them. And I guess I don't know what their job is. It certainly is not acting as security, because they get their ass handed to them every time they get near the ring. So I guess it's just so that there's 16-year-old skinny kids that they can beat up to practice taking bumps there at the wrestling school. How was that?
Perfect.
Significantly better. Significantly better. So let's play another song, and then we'll get into Raw, because that's the last thing we got to do besides the shout-outs. This one is called McMahon Billionaire.
I wanna be a billionaire! So fucking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of
WD
magazine. Smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
A foul mood.
Oh, every time I
burn time,
I see my name in shiny light.
This is Vince McMahon's world.
City every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a
billionaire. Shut up! Shut the hell up! Ah! Ah! Damn it, come on! Old Bernie Mac!
You might have some support from this audience, but 95% of them are idiots.
Chorus is underappreciated.
I'm a billionaire.
This is the best part.
Those rotten bastards! Get it! You people, shut up! Shut the hell up! Ah! Ah! Damn it! Come on, old Bernie Mac.
He is very insane.
Some support from this audience, but 95% of them are idiots.
Awesome right there. That was a masterpiece, that chorus right there. He was ranting and raving to the beat. Whenever I hear Vince going crazy like that, I always wonder if, like, I haven't decided where fate will take me. If I'm going to mellow as the years go by, or if when I'm 65, I will be that completely insane. I haven't decided yet. I guess time will tell.
You think it's a conscious choice?
Well, no, it's just going to happen. But I, you know, sometimes when things are going to happen, you can, you know, make predictions.
I see.
I mean, I predict that, like, my hair's going to turn gray. Duh. I can't predict if I'm going to be
Nostradamus, yes.
Crazy or not. Crazy or mellow. It's going to be one or the other.
You can't be crazy and mellow.
I'm on a precipice right now.
You can't be an insane laid-back guy.
Oh, fuck no. That doesn't work. All right, let's talk about Raw here. I'm going to take over because I did a better job in my TV review than you did. Quite frankly, as Vince would say. Nexus came out. Actually, you should do this one because I did this exact same thing last night. I would just be replaying what I said on the Dave show.
Honestly, perfectly content to let you go because I am lazy.
You talk a little bit and I'll make smart-ass comments.
All right.
And hopefully you won't take too long.
So
it's very hot in this room. And sweat is gathering on your hairy chest, and it's just disgusting.
Stop looking at me.
Go ahead.
You can turn your chair around.
I got rid of the mic thing. Actually, I didn't. If anybody wants it, email me.
Right. Okay. Nexus was in the ring. Wade Barrett was there. He said the GM had told him to get Nexus in the ring so they could face the consequences for their actions. He was getting the what chance, and it didn't bother him at all. He just put the mic down until everyone shut up, and then he kept going. So he's already a better promo than Rey Mysterio. He said they could not reveal yet why they attacked Vince, but he assured us all it needed to happen. It was part of the bigger picture. Said McMahon thought he controlled them, but that was not the case. Said just like the fans, Vince had no idea about their agenda. He then handed the mic over to Skip Sheffield, and Skip said they had laid out Steamboat for fun. They had found a loophole in the ruling and exploited it. And, you know, I just thought they could have just said they attacked. They could have just said, we attacked the Legends last week. They didn't have to mention Rookie Steamboat's name, but they did. So, sometimes they just have to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you're welcome, everyone.
Skip says the fans loved it, said it would boost his DVD sales.
I was actually looking for more songs by Clit since he did such a great job tonight. I'm going to play another one by him. Later.
Right. Oh, later. Okay.
Yes.
So,
got to get the show moving.
We have the GM email. Not only do we now hear the sound effect over the house mic, but it also dims the lights in the building whenever an email arrives. Fans already hate this gimmick and boo every time it happens. So we got an email. It said the GM announced that Nexus was banned from title shots until further notice. He also lifted the ban on them fighting the Raw guys and vice versa. So now they were fair game. So Cena entered. He said the one thing the Nexus guys had not done yet is getting a fair fight. So out came Orton, Truth, Evan Bourne, John Morrison, and the Hart Dynasty. So that made it 7-on-7. They moved to the ring, but before they could get there, they were attacked by 7 more heels. Edge, Sheamus, Miz, DiBiase, The Usos, and Jericho. So the Nexus guys headed for the hills. The babyfaces fought off the heels. One of the Usos got FU'd. And Sheamus and Cena went back and forth on the mics for a while. I did think it was impressive that Sheamus was talking instead of Edge or Jericho. Then I remembered he is still the WWE champion, so really he should be talking anyway. But anywho, so Sheamus said that the only person that the Nexus attacked repeatedly was Cena. He said they supported the Nexus. He said if the faces had any brains, they would too. Orton interrupted him, said that he and Cena were not friends. Then he started talking about Edge. Said he reminded us that Nexus had attacked him at F4W as well. Got another email from the GM. He announced that the Money in the Bank dudes will be competing tonight in various matches. And he also announced the main event, which will be John Cena and Wade Barrett shaking hands and calling a truce. So Cena said he didn't want to. He said he didn't want to punch his teeth in instead. And the GM said he would do this, and that's the bottom line, because the GM said so. And everyone reacted to this, the best of which by far was Chris Jericho. He was not happy to hear this possibility of who the GM might be, and almost certainly won't be. We got John Morrison versus Ted DiBiase. I think at this point, DiBiase actually has better abs, which is pretty amazing. I have no idea what happened in the match. I was paying attention to Maryse. She was on commentary. She was the real star. She took a phone call at one point, and then that she decided it was time to put Morrison's coat on. This distracted Morrison, and he turned around, and DiBiase pinned him with a Dream Street. It's fine. We had Kozlov and Santino walking around backstage. Santino was trying to be wacky. And Kozlov cut him off and said, if you lose, I will pound my fist in your face. Which is a great pep talk.
Keep going.
All right. We had they showed the angle from last week.
Shit, it didn't work.
I'm actually glad that was not what you were trying to do. If that was your goal and we got that... I'll just keep going.
Okay, I got to figure out how to do this. You keep going.
Santino
You're doing
and
a great job, Vinny.
Versus Regal and a what was briefly a mystery partner. Regal came out and cut a promo. He called them Oxygen Thieves, which I thought was a great line. He said they had beaten him up last week, but he would get revenge. And so to get revenge, he had gotten this monster, and it was Kali. So yes, Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov versus William Regal and Great Kali. They had a match that was even weirder than it sounds. There was comedy, there was brutality, there was wackiness, and then Kozlov pinned Regal with a slam. Kali never even tagged in. Then they Kali came in afterwards, hit the Kali chop on Regal, and then the babyfaces had the single worst dance party of all time. All time. They recapped all the Steamboat stuff. This was, of course, a week later and well after his health woes. They still showed everything. So they went to Arn Anderson for an update on his condition. He would not give specifics, but he said it's real bad. So as he was talking, Sheamus interrupted. They jibber-jabbered for a while. He said Arn used to be the enforcer. Arn said he was never blind and stupid. Said Sheamus was not safe for the Nexus guys.
God damn it.
Brian's iPhone's broken.
No, I gotta... go on.
Sheamus said that Nexus was smarter than the Horsemen and they would be smart enough not to mess with him. Arn said Sheamus could be a great white shark, but he could be swimming around an empty... And I watched this about 50 times trying to make sure this is what he said. I believe he said an empty butthole.
Yeah, I don't know what he said.
That was live TV, everyone. So Sheamus said he was WWE champ and doesn't need those guys. And Arn quoted Tim Flowers and said these young guys just don't fucking get it. We had Truth versus Miz. Miz came out trying again to do Truth's song. He did very slightly better in that he remembered some lyrics this time. So he got in the ring, started cutting a promo, jumped Truth with the mic. He worked his arm over for a long-ass time. One fan shouted, "You suck, Miz," and his friend shouted, "And you're a cheater." So they carried Truth away, and Miz said that he was going to hurt everyone who got in the ring with him.
Yeah, he did.
Edge came out for the cutting edge, so he was in the ring with a bunch of ladders, just like Christian on SmackDown. He buried Truth, throwing the Annoying One song. He admitted the Nexus guys had attacked him, but said it was better to make 7 allies than 7 enemies. Said the Nexus guys needed direction and leadership, and he could provide that if they would let him. He said that winning the Money in the Bank match was equal to winning the WWE Championship, because every time anyone cashed it in, they won. He introduced Evan Bourne, but Jericho came out instead. He cut a great promo, Jericho did. He said he took a backseat to nobody. He took credit for Wade winning NXT. He said he told him to make an impact, took credit basically for everything they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Said he, not Edge, should be the one advising Nexus. Edge said that they won't listen to a guy who can barely beat Evan Bourne, and Jericho said, well, they might listen to a guy who beat you at WrestleMania. So they went back and forth for a while. They finally brawled. Evan came out, made them both look silly.
Oh, it's the guest GM! The guest GM says, more excitement, Vinny!
That was the payoff.
Yeah.
You were working on that for like 4 minutes.
That was not easy. Okay?
I guess not.
Because I tried to send it to myself, but it came through immediately. You've got to shut off the screen, then it makes that noise when something comes through. So I had to find how I could email a text message to myself to make that noise. Yeah. Everyone thinks I'm lazy, for fuck's sake. Ridiculous.
So there was, in fact, an email from the GM.
I'm going to start using that gimmick more often. It probably would be easier to just put it on the drop board.
I would have.
Sure.
The GM booked Jericho and Edge versus Evan and Randy Orton later. And it was right now, actually. So, Jericho and Edge versus Evan and Orton. Cole was actually plugging the Atlanta Super Show for the next night, which I guess was the SmackDown tapings.
Yeah.
But that's probably a bad sign, because they haven't done that in a long-ass time. So, Evan, he got the heat on Evan, and I think it was one of the heels went to suplex him, and he did those knee strikes out of the suplex. Lawler started going off about how he had never seen that before. Evan
Lawler,
does this.
Lawler, let me tell you something about Lawler, match. Everybody. Jerry Lawler comes to work. He does absolutely no preparation. He sits down at the booth and he goes.
Okay.
That's how he operates. He happens to be really fucking good, so he's able to do that and not be a complete fool.
That's great.
And he also has a bad memory.
He still watches Evan. Okay. Yes, thank you. He sees Evan do this every week. Maybe he'll see it was the first time he ever saw it again next week. So he made a hot tag to Orton. Orton made a comeback. His comebacks have been awesome lately. Just great stuff. Then they cut him off. So this is a double hot tag match.
Only a double.
Only two. And Edge and Jericho, as the match went on, started getting along worse and worse. They were hesitant to make tags. They were shouting at each other. And finally, Edge just speared Jericho, setting him up so Evan could hit the Shooting Star Press for the win. So he did. Evan hit the Shooting Star Press and got the win. Orton got in the ring to celebrate with him and then laid him out with an RKO. And I understand some people were confused about this.
Me! Me!
But yes, they
are. Let me say something about this. All right. I know what you're going to say. Yes, the idea was that Orton was sending Evan a message that it's every man for himself at Money in the Bank, okay? And apparently the announcers also made mention of that, so I was in fact incorrect when I said that nobody had made any mention of it. However, with all that fucking said, why couldn't Evan Bourne lay out Orton?
I don't know.
Would have been the same thing. Evan is telling Orton that it's every man for himself. Why did Orton have to be the one to lay out Evan?
Because he's a bigger star.
They
don't want Evan to get over.
Well, that's the answer, but that's stupid. You should be wanting to get Evan over. Let him lay Orton out, for Christ's sake. What, all of a sudden no one's going to come to WWE anymore because Orton got laid out by Evan Bourne? Orton's t-shirts aren't going to sell anymore? I mean, what would be the concern? Okay.
What's the worst case scenario?
It's just
scenario?
Like the whole thing with when Jericho beat Evan after Evan had beat him on pay-per-view. Jericho got his win back the next night. Okay. You know, Dave's theory was, well, they feel that Jericho has lost too many times. So fucking what? People aren't going to watch Downfall anymore? It's happening anyway. Well, I mean, what difference is it going to make whether Chris Jericho does another job to Evan Bourne? He's not going to draw anymore? No single person is drawing a goddamn thing. Maybe John Cena's selling some merch, but what fucking difference does it make if a guy loses? Can you answer this question for me? It doesn't make any fucking difference at all.
The exact same thing on SmackDown.
Evan would have laid out Orton, for God's sake. Go on.
Speaking of Orton, backstage he met with David Otunga and Heath Slater and Michael Tarver. Orton said they had cost him the title match at the Fatal 4-Way. Tarver said they were trying to apologize. Well, make a long story short here, they invited Orton to join their group, and they hinted that after the cage match, the cage would be raised, and whoever was WWE champion, the Money in the Bank person, could then cash in their briefcase and destroy this weakened victor. But the Nexus group could either guarantee that the could protect the champion or guarantee he lost, either way. So implying they would help him out if he joined them. They plugged the Super Show again, and they announced that Truth was out of Money in the Bank. They
Orton did not join them, by the way. Key point.
No, he told them, he said hell no or something, but...
told them to piss off.
Yeah. So we had an interview with the Usos, where the point of this interview was to point out that nobody knows who they are. They made a bet about whether Josh knew which one was Jimmy or Jay. He didn't know. So Tamina said, this is Jimmy and this is Jay, and they just moved on. They still look exactly the same, everyone.
Yeah.
She could have said, this is Jay. He wrestles in short tights or something, but no. So Jay said in 2 weeks they would be tag team champions. They did announce somewhere in the show they were getting a title shot at the pay-per-view. So Jay said in 2 weeks everyone would know who they were. Then they left. Then Alicia was there. She said she had been champion for 2 weeks and had not gotten a single interview. She said winning the title was not a fluke and she was going to prove it now. We had Alicia versus Eve. It went like a minute. Alicia faked an injury, and then when Eve hesitated, Alicia laid her out with the axe kick of complete death and pinned her.
Company's very high on Alicia, by the way, so I was ahead of the curve like 6 months to a year ago. Just like to throw that out there.
As you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like to remind people that they're getting their money's worth by paying me.
The main event handshake, Wade came out first, said it was unfortunate Cena had been in the middle of everything they had to do. He asked Cena to come out and shake hands like men. He said Cena was not in their future plans, so they could make his life easier, they can make it hard. Cena came out, he looked very concerned, he was always watching his back. He seemed to be accepting this offer, he wanted to make sure that if he shook Wade's hand, they would stop the attacks. He teased a handshake, and of course he pulled back, he vowed to take them all down one by one. Wade said that what they had done in the past would pale to what they were going to do, so they had taken out Brett and Vince. They would take him out too, they gave him one more chance. So Cena shook his hand, but just turned it into a nephew. The Nexus attacked. Evan saved. He was overwhelmed. Morrison saved. He was overwhelmed. So every other babyface on Earth came out.
Why did they send out the dorks and not the heroes?
I don't know.
I was gobsmacked when I saw Gold Dust, for example, running off the Nexus.
And Yoshitatsu.
Yeah.
Well, the key was it was every babyface on the roster.
Yeah, but they'd done the angle early in the show where there are now seven key WWE babyfaces that are opposing the Nexus. Where the fuck were they? Did they go home early?
For all I know, some of them may have been out here. I stopped counting when I got to like a 10-on-7 fight that the babyfaces were winning. So they... So, yes, there was at least 10 baby faces, including monsters like Kali and Mark Henry out there. So it was left with Cena and Darren Young in the ring, then the wall of baby faces, and then the Nexus guys in the ramp. At that point, we got another email. The GM said, demanded peace and said there would be consequences if there was no peace. So Cena responded by putting the STF on Darren Young. So the GM booked Cena versus all of Nexus next week, and suddenly they cut to the wide shot, and everyone besides Cena and Young had disappeared. Like 20 guys just vanished.
In a thin air.
Very strange. So, yes, the GM announced Cena versus Nexus in a 7-on-1 match next week. Cena proceeded to go all Shane Carwin on Darren Young, beating the fuck out of him, and that was the show.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show.
It was all right.
I enjoyed it. They look like they've got a direction. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to be good.
That's what I'm terrified about. What is the payoff for the Nexus feud going to be?
Well, at least they appear to have an idea, as opposed to when they were just... They literally were writing, you know, week to week.
Right.
That's why it made absolutely no sense for a couple of weeks in there. Now it seems like they've got an idea, which is a positive, although they didn't finish writing Raw until, like, Monday, which is not a good sign. But yeah, that's the show, everybody. Let's do a quick song, and then we'll do some shout-outs. Let's get the real fun and games here on the road. This is a tribute to our Buff
Brian
interview.
Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily, joined today by Marcus Bagwell, Buff Bagwell, Marcus Alexander Bagwell. I'm sure we could go on and on. And Buff, how you doing today?
So here I am with my thoughts of you.
Because when I hear somebody say, Mark... That is a high school friend. If somebody says Marcus, that's a wrestler. And sometimes wrestlers also call each other by the wrestling name. So yeah, but my name is actually Marcus Alexander Bagwell. But you know I won't let you through. I heard you, but I didn't quite catch you. Monday, that's to say, you know?
When Impact went head-to-head with Raw for the last couple of months and ended up being
right.
Moved back to Thursdays, I mean, did you follow any of that, and what were your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I was the World Tag Team Champion at the time, and it was horrible because the fans don't want to see you twice, you know?
I'm sure you probably heard that Chris Kanyon passed away, and you guys worked together in WCW, and any memories of his career and him?
At the very end was the gimmick that I had with him.
And that might have been the New Blood Rising pay-per-view, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was a total setup, just a bias to be this. That's on stage and put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
My analogy on that is got at McDonald's, there's never just a McDonald's.
Have you ever thought of writing a book about your experiences in this business?
I've got one that's already, you know, ready to go. It's just can't put it out because, you know, you have until you're ready. I think it's very confusing.
Now,
I'm not even flying no more. Cut that out. I'm done with that.
And if you were hired, I mean, obviously you'd be ready to jump back on those airplanes again.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to. Yeah, that's just random.
Yeah. We'll talk to you again after a while. Well, you can't win them all, everybody.
I disagree.
You cannot win them all.
That was a win.
Got a bunch of shout-outs here. I'm going to read on the program for those of you that enjoy this program but only get to hear it once a week, or actually once every other week, because we alternate with Wrestling Observer Radio, also available on the site. Read these shout-outs and tell you why you should sign up. $10.99 over at WrestlingObserver.com. This is from Paul in England. Longtime listener to the show. Thought I'd pay for my third ever shout-out to help advertise a very special eBay sale I'm currently running. A few years ago, when money was less evasive to me, purchased a ring-worn attire of Mick Foley from his WrestleMania 22 Match of the Year Hardcore Battle with Edge. As I'm a little poorer now, I've decided to sell it. $600 or best offer, all of which will be considered. Anyone who might be interested, head over to the eBay store and search for the item, which also includes photographic evidence of Foley signing the gear, plus autographs on Foley's boots from Kurt Angle, Pat Patterson, and Al Snow. Also, could you play Vinny the Little People's Court song I sent in when Lance was in studio? Is he missed it the first time? Do I have that song?
So you bought a sweaty, burned flannel.
Well, what more could you want for $600, Vince?
Congratulations.
What the hell's wrong
with you? Good luck with your sale, too.
What the hell's wrong with you, Vince? Jesus. Let me see if I can find this. I don't even know where this song would be. Yep. I don't know, everybody.
Guess not. Can't play it.
Yeah. Next time, send the song along with the shout-out. Makes it more likely that I'll play it here. All right. Oh, he was just noting the said shout-out. All right, this is from Barry, Republic of Ireland. Brian, I'm cashing in my free shout-out after a few months of sitting on it. I signed up in January after freeloading for just a few weeks. Initially, I was a board avoider, as I thought I had more sense than to post there. Turns out I didn't, and I have thoroughly enjoyed posting the last few weeks as Limerick Lad on the board. Speaking of the board, I have to give a huge thanks to Contrere for his fantastic work compiling the TNA Adrenaline Flush and Brian and Vinny Rewind shows. He is indeed a fine man. Recently watched your latest match with Vinny at Tulalip on YouTube. Vinny, I love you, man, but I expect your Best Of DVD to come out around the same time as Al Snow's. That's two shout-outs in a row with Al Snow. That's creepy.
There's a creepy thing, yes. Limerick Lad, he thought he was so clever, that he posted the comment, Best Of Vinny V DVD, and it was a blank DVD. He thought no one had ever made this joke before. Humor is, like, I guess, a few centuries behind in Ireland still.
Finally, just a quick plug, my wrestling blog and forum at chairshot.org. Not exactly Dave Meltzer. Well, no one is. But I hope someone enjoys reading my thoughts on things. Keep up the good work. Thanks for all the great content. That's Barry from the Republic of Ireland, which is not in the UK. All right. This is from Luke. Hi, guys. My name is Luke from a little old city in England called Southampton. Been a freeloader for your website for quite a few years now. And on a lazy, sick day from work, I thought, why don't I just sign up? I need more audio material to get me through the soul-destroying grind of my job, and signing up is the best way to do this. I want to give a shout-out to my mate at work, Chris, who all assists you guys, and to the Friday Night Smash-Up Montage Gang. Your various shows give a little bit of light in an otherwise dark, dark existence at work. Keep up the good work, fellas! Luke!
Will do.
That was a good shout-out there by Luke.
That actually was a great shout-out.
Sad that your job sucks. Panda Hugger. Hey, guys, love the show. I just humbled my girlfriend, so pretty happy. Thank you for the information.
Congratulations.
I'd like to give a big thumbs up to Dunfermline Athletic Football Club. That's soccer. Pandas. My girlfriend, Rebecca. Who I guess presumably he humbled. Evil laughs, gay jokes, pandas, the career of Shawn Michaels, and the dawn of wrestling, Dangerous Dave Meltzer.
Weren't there two pandas in there?
Well, the Dunfermline Athletic Football Club pandas.
I see.
And then
and
pandas.
The actual panda bears.
And thumbs down to gimmick posters on the board, hay fever, erectile dysfunction, and most American sports. Well, I can agree with...
Clearly he's not
actually
suffering.
All of those, quite frankly.
Not suffering from the erectile dysfunction, then.
Viva La Empire, love and kisses. Panda Hugger. Thank you very much, Panda Hugger, for that fine shout-out. This is from Peter. Guys, I've been listening to all your radio shows for the past few months through a friend's account. He let me use it to entice me into the F4WO world, and now, as you can see, I'm finally stepped up and subscribed. It's actually lucky his account didn't get shut down. Could you please give a shout-out to my mate, Ciaran Flanagan, who showed what fantastic work you do. I know it would make me very, very happy, especially if you could say, Ciaran Flanagan buys! Because he always uses the buys, no buys analogy when describing stuff. Well, what better way to do it? This shout-out, for example, is buys!
Ciaran Flanagan buys.
Yeah,
he didn't ask me to do it, but I threw it in there for free.
Ciaran Flanagan buys! Thanks again all the way from Ireland. And all these Irishmen signing up.
A lot of Euros tonight.
Is it Seamus? What is it?
It could be.
Your newest member, Peter. Thank you very much, Peter, for the shout-out. Another fine one. We got another one here. Matt! A passport officer. Actually, Matt, email me.
Give me a call, yes.
I could use the help. Brian and Vinny, thanks for making my workday tolerable with your great shows. I'd like to give a shout-out from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, to Shitty Bill, John Effin' Handler, is that Chelsea's husband? Rasta Man and Little Jake. I plan on attending the next Vegas convention, which will include some dry rub ribs. I bet it will. And plenty other shenanigans. Thanks from Matt. That was comedy right there.
You know, that was much funnier than the DVD joke, yes. Because I was going to tell you that's actually a way to prepare meat, and then I thought about it.
No, about ribs.
But then there's also ribs, and never mind.
Yeah, and Vegas.
And Vegas.
This is from Jonas. Brian and Vinny just recently set up at Christmas. Wanted to use my shout-out. When I first heard the Brian and Vinny show, I didn't like it. I just didn't like two guys sitting in a hot room together discussing TNA. Well, that is what we did tonight, and the room is even hotter.
Yeah, we don't like it either.
First really got into it later in the year when there wasn't any other audio. I just want to give a shout-out to Stinger1981, who posts a lot of classic wrestling. The link is dailymotion.com/Stinger1981. I hope all this classic wrestling is not copyrighted, because now that that's out, Stinger1981 could be being paid a visit by
the law.
I don't know who would pay him a visit. All right, and finally, this is from Orville.
No way.
Yeah. Had an Orville and a Peter.
Is it Orville Redenbacher?
Orville Brooms.
No.
Seriously.
That's the best name ever. Orville Brooms?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brian, as always, great job on the shows. You and Dave always provide the latest in pro wrestling. And Vinny and yourself have me rolling around LOL with some of your comments.
And so do you.
By far, best wrestling shows on the planet. Just a quick comment. What would you think about a long-term angle where Heyman comes into TNA?
Hate it.
And the whole angle was that Hogan and Bischoff were ruining the company by putting over their friends, as these idiots do in real life. And Heyman comes in as vice president of TNA operations, pushing younger talent and great matches, mostly pushing faces, while Hogan and Bischoff really have part ownership in TNA, thus Dixie can't get rid of them. Hogan, Bischoff team push the WCW type stars in style, while also convincing some young guys that they are the ones that beat Vince and make WCW number one, so they should stick with them, mostly heels and some faces. This angle is what would happen in reality, so it might work.
No.
That made my head spin, actually.
A lot of it made sense. A lot of it actually, I'm not sure where they're going to go. But
well, that depends on Heyman coming in, which
That's not that part. That part I don't think is going to happen. But the part about Hogan and Bischoff, I'm sure, is where they're going. But
he's got a lot more here, but he writes, anyway, too many words I know. You can cut my shout-out after the first paragraph.
Done.
Now we're going to read the whole thing. Heyman versus Bischoff power struggle with, as Heyman's story is, he bought ECW from ground up and was the first on Spike, while Bischoff was a corporate kiss-up that made WCW number one. Put Dixie on TV, bad idea. Put her in the middle as the deer in the headlights, not knowing who's right. This all sounds like what's actually going on.
Yeah, this is on an angle. This is
purpose would be to get over TNA as Dixie is taking input from both sides. She's making the final decision. Can even get newly signed WWE stars when they come to TNA in Dixie's ear, saying they have the right idea since they just came from the WWE. Oh, that would... Well, if you're going to bury the company, you may as well go all out. It'd be a whole storyline of personal agendas. Pull back the curtain even more. Have each side sewing vignettes of negotiations with talent. Heyman's side pushing talent with the dream of TNA and how he made wrestlers into household names. Bischoff's side telling talent, if you take this face out of the next match, you will make them world champion. Makes great heels as the fans would hate guys that are being pushed but don't deserve it. And great faces, they are giving fans what they want. Okay. Great wrestling.
Oh, never mind.
What?
I don't really feel like critiquing this, but I'm... So the gimmick will be that there are guys who are winning who suck, and that's the gimmick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, this is still better than anything they've been doing of late, okay?
Probably true.
Did you watch the show this past Thursday?
No.
Do you ever watch it?
Not that I don't have to.
It's a bad television show. Let's wrap this up, actually, by going back to Dixie's Twitter.
What new dumb thing has she said?
Just finished watching the Lost series. Better late than never. I am more lost than ever, but loved it. Not everything needs to make sense. It's entertainment, everybody! Not everything needs to make sense.
So, right. The more I think about this, the more I find a love. She's drawing the analogy that if Lost doesn't make sense, it's successful. Therefore, if TNA does not make sense, it will also be successful.
Oh, yeah. That's a great, great idea. Great idea. Let's play one last song. Can I find something that makes fun of TNA? That should be hard. Let me see here. What's a good anti-TNA song?
I hate everything about TNA song. Which is like now like 4 years old and still very, very true.
It really is a great song. How about we do... Chicken to Squawk About? Let's give it a shot here.
Chicken fresh. Yeah, you can chicken in. You can chicken out. Chesapeake chicken. It's something to smile about.
I have no idea what, why.
It's solo.
There you go, everybody. 26
seconds.
Going
to make drops. That was it.
There were no drops in it. It was just a funny song.
Which is, as I was in the middle of saying, there's a part there that's just instrumental, waiting for drops to be put in.
But no, they just wanted us to know how funny that particular song was right there.
All right.
Oh, come on, I gotta find one good one here. I just gotta find one good one. All right, everybody loves Mega Mixes. Let's just play one to wrap it up today.
Montag, lieben, glauben, glauben.
For white guys.
Why?
My name is White. My name is White. My name is
its name Sadie.
Tell me
why?
Ain't nothing but a party.
Tell me
why?
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me
why?
I never wanna hear you say I want it that way.
Song's really 10 years old.
Oh god, some of these, yeah.
Jesus. Why?
Someday, when my life has passed me by,
missed that one.
Garden where your flowers can bloom. I will
why
you a new car.
this. Apparently it's the extended version. Maybe every song from the turn of the century. Big finale. Why?
Let's go home.
That's it from here, everybody. Tomorrow with Dr. Lucha.
Adios.